Gino, let's start with the Vautech game. Everybody has a take on it. We've talked about it ad nauseum on our show. Bottom line, the Canes, they escape with the victory. I wonder, A, what you thought of the final decision, and B, are you impressed that the Canes didn't look good in the first half? Cam Ward, finally, we see him struggle a little bit. Really, the offensive line struggled as well, but they still were able to figure out a way to pull out the dub.
You know, I don't necessarily think – I'm not as concerned with the offense. I mean, with the amount of points they put on the board, I'm kind of fine with that. I thought, you know, you get used to making certain throws, and he's trying to throw a wheel route, you know, to Restrepo in the red zone going in the end zone. And basically in zone coverage, the guy just kind of baited him. All right, you want to throw that flat, throw it flat. But when you throw it flat, I'm going to pick it off. Because had he just put some air under it, throw it to the back pylon, give Restrepo a chance, that ball's not picked off. I just thought the kind of the mistakes of the offense, you know, listen, those are going to happen at times. I was more concerned with our run defense. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I see a knee brace on old boy, the running back, I'm like going, oh, we got this guy. He can't run. He outran our whole defense for I don't know how many yards he had, but I'm like, that dude was moving. And, you know, obviously that was the concern, a lot of missed tackles. I know they were preaching on that in practice all week. Listen, the last play, I was watching the game in Atlanta, and I just thought the ball never stopped moving. And if the ball never stopped moving and then that player did not end up with it, it's not a catch. But I also understand the fact that if it was a called touchdown on the field and it's not clear, you know, I mean, irrefutable evidence, most of the time the call stands. So did they dodge a bullet? I think they probably dodged a bullet. They just, you know, the defense didn't play well and they, you know, they dodged a bullet. But the craziness is nationally, they're like, oh, this is a conspiracy. I mean, come on. You think the officials in any conference are like, boy, these guys are still undefeated. Like, they give two bleeps about, you know, who's winning the game. That to me, is just a ridiculous argument.
That's how you know the youth's back, Gino. Everybody's mad about the Canes winning a controversial game. That's how you know the youth's back, baby.
You know what? It's funny, Salada, is I went into Home Depot this week, and a guy goes, oh, they're going to lose. And listen, they don't know who I am. I'm, you know, just an average 50-some-year-old white dude in there trying to buy something. And I go, well, why do you say that? He goes, bro, I'm from here. It's the city. You start winning a few games, you're britching, your chest is out, you're getting all big, and then you're just going to slip up. And I thought he was. I thought that was funny because he was just like, it's just the city. We get arrogant. You know how it is. We get a little success, and we don't know how to handle it. But he's not old enough to remember how we kicked ass and handled it a lot long time ago. So,
and yeah, Gino. So the narrative with that game would be you had some trouble. You had a little adversity and you fought through it and ended up winning late. That was a big moment in the game. But to your point, because I was telling people same thing. You know, people come to me all the time now about the Canes, and you know, I'm an honorary member this year. Thank you so much.
You're on the bandwagon.
Let me on the wagon. I appreciate it. But it was the little guys. To your point, I wasn't going to – the D-line, O-line, I'm watching them play, and they can play. It's what we were kind of talking about through the summer, where can these DBs hold up against those top SEC teams, those big-time schools? Can the receivers get separation against those All-American defensive backs? Did that waver at all? Or was that just the game that they needed to lock in and figure it out? Because Cam started hauling ass. I didn't even know Cam could run that fast.
Oh, yeah.
He pulled that thing down, Gino, a couple times. Was like, the hell with that. Let me go get this first down.
I mean, all you had to do was put a three after that one, and he would have looked like me out there on my scampering ability. But, offensively, I'm not concerned. You put up 35, 38 points, whatever the final number was. I mean, you should win most games. You know, and it's just the run defense and the missed tackles. And, listen, over the last, let's say, 15 years, we've watched a lot of defenses that missed a lot of tackles by the second line of defense, and that to me was the most concerning part of the whole deal. And listen, Cal's got Jaden Ott, and he's been banged up. He got hurt their first game, but he came into the season. He was averaging 95 a game on the ground and 120 all-purpose yards. This dude can play, and if he's 100%, these guys have had 2 weeks to prepare. If you don't shore that up and you don't get him to the ground, it's going to be another problem. And the late kicks just absolutely suck. I mean, I remember playing Arizona my junior year. We flew out to Arizona. We played the same thing. 10:30 Eastern kick. Man, at halftime, it was 2 in the morning our time. I was exhausted. Like I could have literally, if I'd have caught in my locker, I could have fallen asleep in a locker room. And that concerns me because it's going to be the same case, you know, this Saturday.
You know, I think, Gino, that people are kind of forgetting what they thought of that Virginia Tech matchup on paper coming into the season, because that was one of the games people pointed to and said, that's going to be one of their tough ACC games. Obviously, they had a couple of close losses, now a third one to Miami. But do you think, how beneficial was it for Miami, who had blown out the teams that they had previously played, to have a game like that where they had to kind of fight for it, come from behind late? How beneficial do you think it was for this team with the aspirations that they had?
Well, I think it tests them. You know, I think you're right. It's funny because nobody remembers, because everybody was saying it's Virginia Tech. They're the sleeper in the ACC. They got 20 guys returning, all these starters, and their quarterback has just had a pedestrian start to the season. He was completing like less than 50% of his passes. Hell, listen, Josh, you've been down here long enough. We've made some quarterbacks at Virginia Tech a lot of money. We made Tyrod Taylor All-American. We made Logan Thomas, who ended up being a tight end in the NFL. He threw for 450 yards on us in Hard Rock. I'm like going, what is it? Virginia Tech quarterbacks against Miami just light us up, and the guy came to life and made some plays. And I think what it does for any, you know, what does Saban call it, rat poison? Mm-hmm. You know, when you start getting patted on the back. Any young kid, man, they start off 4-5-0. They're thinking, man, chest out. We're going to the playoffs. It's a lock. Miami's a lock. Florida State's not very good. Clemson's not very good. Miami's just going to walk into the playoffs. It brings you down to earth pretty quickly to say, you still got to play them 60 minutes every Saturday, and you better bring your A game, else you are going to get beat.
Gino, what? No, I had to ask him. What kind of sideline pass does Michael Irvin have? Because I go to Florida games and they don't let me do the Michael Irvin. What does he have around his neck?
Well, the I would say the funny thing about our sideline pass. So, you know, if you remember, we got in trouble for some sideline issues prior. So, when I was playing, Luther Campbell was on the sideline. We had two live crew. We were wearing the bandanas. We had the party going. I mean, Gary Sheffield and Benito Santiago playing with the Marlins. They'd be on the sidelines, and it was a party. So to be on the sidelines, you either had to be, I think what it is, you have to be an NFL Hall of Famer, College Hall of Famer, or I think maybe an All-American. So they haven't let the players back on the sidelines. Michael is always allowed on the sidelines. And I would say this, I don't care what pass Michael Irvin has, or even if he has a pass, or even if security would stop him on the sideline. Because I guarantee you, if you watch when he was going crazy on the sideline, and listen, I don't know what he was saying, and I'm sure the guys probably didn't understand 90% of what he was saying, but ain't nobody getting him to stop. Whatever it is he was saying, man, I was hype. I was like, holy cow, Michael looks like he's going to go out there and put 47 on it and run some corner routes and some bang eights on Virginia Tech and take over. But, his pass is his carte blanche. I don't know what it says, but it's different than my pass and everybody else's pass.
Gino Toretta, again, the ambassador for Evening's Delight. He will be on the call. You can listen to the game on QAM, but he will be on the call nationally on Touchdown Radio. Gino, is Cal good? I can't figure this out. I know we talked about Jaden Ott, and if he's healthy, he's obviously a threat. And everybody knows about Cal's quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, went to Columbus. He had a couple comments a few days ago where he was saying he respects FSU, UM a lot. He grew up in this area. He wanted to play there. It didn't work out. He went to Cal, and it's obviously working out for him. But Cal has a road win at Auburn, which I don't care what Auburn looks like this year. That's pretty damn impressive to go to an SEC school on the road and beat them. But then they lost to FSU, who might be the worst team in the ACC. Is Cal good?
Cal has forced 11 turnovers. They got 10 picks early in the season. So they've been fortunate. They create turnovers. Their defense Listen, Josh Wilcox is a head coach because he's a deep, great deep coordinator, cut his teeth at Wisconsin, a bunch of places, Oregon, and he can devise a defense. Offensively, defensively, they've given up less than 14 every single week. So, yes, they can play defense. Offensively, and I will just go to last season, I did USC at Cal. And it was more of, hey, I want to come home and see my mom and family. And it ended up being a great game with Caleb Williams. And I was like, who the hell is Francisco Mendoza? And how does a kid really should have beat USC in that game? And he outplayed Caleb Williams. The kid's accurate. The kid's tough. He's got some moxie to him. He doesn't make mistakes. And when you have a guy like that in college that can operate and has some weapons around him, yeah, they are good and they can play. And, dude, they've had 2 weeks off. You know, they've had a week off. So, you know, that to me is what concerns me the most about this game is the week off.
I mean, you mentioned, Gino, a little bit earlier just about the travel aspect of this. And in years past, different versions of this Miami team have gone to places like UTEP for the Holiday Bowl and dealt with cold weather there and not performed well. They've dealt with quote-unquote cold weather in Orlando and not dealt with it well. There's just different instances over the years where certain travel aspects of where they go affect them negatively. You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but how much of a factor do you think that'll be for this group going to the West Coast playing at that time?
Well, I hope it's not too much of a factor, but they're used to practicing at 9 in the morning, and they're going to be playing at 10:30 Eastern, their body clock time, so that is a big difference. They changed up their routine. They're flying out there today. So that's an extra day of travel. Channing, you played in the West Coast in your career. I don't know what the right answer is. I've been on teams in the league where you go out a day early to the East Coast and you see if you can acclimate. To me, I think you keep it the same. I wouldn't have come out till Friday because the travel day, you lose practice time anyway. But it is, whether you're playing a game, trying to play your best level, your body clock is for real. Like at 10:30 at night, you're probably thinking, hey, you're winding down, your body's thinking at that time, but now they got to ramp up. The weather is going to be hot and that, so they're going to be fine. That I'm concerned on the body clock issue, especially because their practice time is totally different than their game time this week.
Nah, Cam Ward, he spent some time over on the West Coast. He'll be fine. Come on. And Gino, I believe when Washington State and Cam Ward played at Cal, they ended up losing, but he had a big game. Like, their defense just gave up a bunch of points. So,
Solana, you realize, like, Washington State to Cal is, like, at most a two-hour flight, and I just flew out here last night. I think it was, like, 6 hours. You realize there's, like, the same time zone and a two-hour flight versus 3 hours difference in a six-hour flight? You realize that, right?
No, I don't. I'm not a geography major.
I know you're
major.
Geographically challenged, and you know the little boot, the little peninsula state on the bottom southeastern corner of the United States.
Gino,
I just try to give you a little geography lesson. We're on the other coast. We're not on the Fort Myers West Coast. We're on the West Coast of California.
Gino, they're going to Fort Myers.
Gino, I flew to North Carolina right as they got hit by a catastrophic hurricane.
You know what? That's what I want. I wanted to talk about what the hell. I told you, I was like, man, get out of there. Of all the people that's been through hurricanes, and you're dumb and your crew going on an Airbnb right before a storm. And then when you realize, I mean, like, listen, when the news says major flooding and all that's going to be hitting, I'd be like, all right, get me out of there. I mean, you couldn't find an Uber to get to wherever some deliverance cabin you were staying in. You should have known at that point in time, go to a hotel, spend one night, and just the hell with it. We need to get out of here.
Yeah, not my wisest decision. The funny part is, like, the last person I had contact with was Gino Bleeping Toretta. Like, somehow.
You know what? I was concerned with you, and I texted Hawk. I said, dude, is Solana all right? Like, do we need – I mean, I got some buddies in the town. Do I need to – And Hawk was like, "Hell, I don't even know where he is. He could have given to you know what's about him." So
he enjoyed the deliverance cabin, though. He wanted to be up there.
I'll say it again: what happened at 2 Reuben Road stays at 2 Reuben Road.
No, guys, come on back, guys, come on back. No, come on back.
Gino is the ambassador again for Evening's Delight, and he joins us courtesy of Evening's Delight. Two locations, Pinecrest and Davie in South Florida, and they are your source for Big Green Egg grills, accessories, seasoning, sauces, and more. Gino, have a great call this weekend or on Saturday. Again, touchdown radio nationally for UM Cal. Bring us home another W. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.